Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today is the disappearance day of one of the followers of Lord Chaitanya named Devananda Pandit, who was present during the time of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So the lives of the saints are living Bhagavatam. So when we glorify the great saints, we are actually glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll read a little bit and at the same time comment on this very interesting personality, Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit, Ma Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Devananda Pandit lived in Navadvip Dharam, in the section known as Kulia, or Koladvip, near where the present day Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math of Sridhar Maharaj is now located. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to manifest the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. Devananda Pandit was highly renowned for his expertise in writing and considering the sayings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Many people used to go and study the Srimad Bhagavatam under him. One day, Srivas Pandit went to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class given by Devananda Pandit. First of all, at this particular time, Devananda Pandit, although he was expert at reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't have the proper conclusion of Bhagavatam. He was a great pundit and would also speak on Bhagavatam, but his conclusion was somewhat impersonal. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya never liked Srimad Devananda Pandit's narration of Bhagavatam. And here's an example of what happened on one interesting occasion. This happened before the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After some time, Devananda Pandit began giving his lecture. He was surrounded on all four sides by his students, who listened carefully to his reading. Srivas Pandit was a highly exalted Rasika Bhakta. Rasika Bhakta means situated in their own transcendental realization in according to their knowledge of their relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. But he is a devotee experienced in tasting the mellows of devotion. Hearing the sweetness of the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur fell to the ground with tears of ecstasy in his eyes. Weeping and wailing with tears of ecstasy in his eyes, he began rolling on the ground, his voice choked up with emotion. Seeing all this, the students of Devananda said, "This man is mad. He is not properly giving his attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Throw him out. Eject him." In this way, the foolish followers of Devananda, who are devoid of knowledge, Devananda Pandit saw all this, but did nothing to prevent his disciples from ejecting Srivas Pandit from the class. This is an interesting point. If a disciple commits a sin as a result of the guru's ignorance, the guru partakes of the sinful reaction. Someone is responsible for whatever their disciples do. If the guru does not correct or reprimand the disciple if he acts wrongly. Therefore, Devananda Pandit also partook of the sinful reaction of offending Srivas Pandit. Without saying a word of this to anyone, and without telling anyone of his sufferings at the hands of Devananda Pandit, Srivas Pandit returned home. All these events took place before the advent of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So what happened was when Srivas ecstasy was broken after he was placed on the ground outside. He felt really, really unhappy. He was absorbed in the ecstasy of Bhagavatam. But then these, what we say, very neophyte followers of Devananda Pandit, not understanding a great soul, took his ecstasies as simply a disturbance. Sometimes people exhibit ecstasies in order to attract attention to others. And they're known as sahajyas, or ones who takes things cheaply. In other words, if something is valuable, then one should properly relate to that item accordingly. In other words, if such a thing, what is valuable. In this world, people consider wealth as valuable, so they don't throw it away on the streets or just leave it laying around. It's guarded, it's protected, it's invested. So to act improperly according to something that is invaluable is called sahajya, or cheap, not understanding its value. So they didn't understand the value of Srivast Pandit's ecstasy. Therefore, they took it as simply a disturbance and took and put him outside and put him on the ground. He brushed the dust off his clothes, went back home, picked up the Srimad Bhagavatam and started reading it by himself. And during that time, Lord Chaitanya entered into his heart with great loving devotion, and he felt happy and peaceful. Although he was very disturbed when this happened with the followers of Devananda Pandit. We'll go on with our reading. At length, the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took place as the Supreme Lord made his appearance in this material world. Gradually, he manifests his childhood pastimes, his studies, his pastimes of learning, and his pastimes as a young professor, as well as the revelation of his divinity in the house of Srivast Thakur. At the time of that divine manifestation, the Lord revealed his Mahaprakash in the temple of Srivast Thakur amidst all the devotees. He said, he told Srivast, this was later, "Don't you remember the time when you went to hear Srimad Bhagavatam at the house of Devananda Pandit? When you fell to the ground in ecstasy upon hearing the nectarian verses of the Bhagavatam, then the disciples of Devananda, as a result of his own ignorance of your exalted devotion, threw you out of the class. At that time you went home feeling distressed, but you told no one of the incident. Do you remember this?" The Lord is speaking to Srivast. Hearing the words of the Lord, Srivast was astonished and fell at the lotus feet of the Lord, catching hold of them. One day, as Mahaprabhu was wandering through the town of Navadvipa, he came upon the road near where Sarvabhauma's father, Maheshwar Vishrada Pandit, used to live. There was a house of Devananda Pandit. At that time, within the house of Devananda Pandit, a class on Srimad Bhagavatam was being held. From a long way off, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could hear this. Upon hearing Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, Mahaprabhu became enraged. Chaitanya Bhagavat records, quote, "With sharp words the Lord said, 'What does this fellow know about the meaning described in the Bhagavatam? He will never know the Bhagavatam, even in many lifetimes. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary avatar of Krishna himself. The Bhagavatam promotes bhakti as the ultimate goal of life. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the four Vedas. It is a literary form of divine love. The four Vedas are like milk. The Srimad Bhagavatam is like butter. Sukadev Goswami is the churner of the butter, and it was eaten by Maharaj Parikshit. That Sukadev Goswami, who is dear to me, knows the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev expressed the truth about myself. He expressed my own opinions. Me and my servants are glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who finds a difference between myself and my servants will find all his good intelligence destroyed. An irreligious person who rejects bhakti and finds some other meaning in the Srimad Bhagavatam will never understand the Bhagavatam. Unquote. That's the low words of Lord Chaitanya. Can you imagine? If you were in the midst of that, listening to that, you'd be shaking like a leaf in the wind. Lord is speaking very strongly against those who do not know, but profess to know. This is a, let's call it pretentious. And it goes on today. Many people who come in the name of spiritual master or other definitions of highly evolved spiritual persons speak on scripture and also take up the role of being a guru in one form or another, and then cheat their disciples and says they go to hell, and so do the disciples. This is very common in today's society, Kali Yuga, is there are cheaters and cheated. Srila Prabhupada used to say, every day one incarnation of God is coming from India. Every day. What he was saying is, in a very facetious way, that this is actually goes on as, you know, truth, but actually it's something different. So Mahaprabhu was describing the glories of Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam? This is so on. This Nasta Prayeshu Apardeshu Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloki Bhakti Bhagavati Naistiki. That Srimad Bhagavatam is a feature of the Absolute Truth. In this age, Krishna manifests himself in four powerful ways. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, the spiritual master, Tulsi Devi, and what else? The holy name. These four are powerful manifestations, just like Tulsi Devi. She's not a plant. She is a part of the Absolute Truth. We see her as an ordinary plant, then we are seeing materially. She is a pure devotee of the spiritual world. She comes from Vrindavan itself, the highest abode of spiritual truth. She is a manifestation of the Absolute Truth. One who worships Tulsi with devotion will find that they will feel an experience of tremendous amount of happiness. She brings great happiness in devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam is also non-different than the Absolute Truth. It is Krishna himself in the form of sound. Each of the cantos of the Bhagavatam are correlated to represent different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first and second cantos are the feet of the Lord. It's like we take darshan of the Lord in his transcendental form on the altar. Each of the parts of the body correspond to one of the cantos in Bhagavatam. We should know that this is not an analogy or some kind of, you know, impression upon the mind to give some kind of connection. It actually is reality in absolute principle. What is that absolute principle? That Bhagavatam is Krishna. The holy name is Krishna. The spiritual master is the appearance of the Lord in the world and is non-different than Krishna and should be seen in the same way. These are the absolute principles that make devotional service what it is, actually. So, Bhagavatam is so wonderful. So wonderful. We can read Bhagavatam all day. There's one spiritual master in our society. His name is Mahavishnu Swami. Elderly man. There's two Mahavishnu Swamis in our society, actually. There's one younger and one older. The older one is in his late 70s. He reads Bhagavatam all day and preaches Bhagavatam all the time. He's absorbed in Bhagavatam. He loves Bhagavatam. He relishes Bhagavatam. And when he speaks about it, you can experience his realizations of Bhagavatam. Yeah, so this is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Krishna in the form of sound vibration. It is called Amalam Puranam. It is called Paramahansa Samhita. That means it is meant for those on the highest platform of spiritual understanding. It's not for people who want to approach the Lord for material desires. There is no consideration of material contamination or consideration in the Bhagavatam. There are four aspects of material life. Wanting to be a good person in this world. Wanting to do good to the world in general and receive some benefit from material pious activities. To be situated nicely and live somewhat happily by material standards, to have a good wife, to have a good, you know, material arrangements, to be born in a good family, to aspire for the heavenly planets once one leaves this body, to have nice children, to have good fortune and good luck in their lives. This is piety, or dharma, we call it dharma, actually. Bhagavatam doesn't even touch that. It doesn't even mention any of these things. And what else? Sense gratification, or the desire to satisfy the senses, even according to religious principles. That is not mentioned in Bhagavatam. And what else? How to develop society in such a way that one can successfully live happily. That's not mentioned. Economic development, not even considered. And the highest aspect of all material considerations is to be free from this material world and attain moksha, or liberation. No more body. Liberation means you don't get a body anymore. You go and emerge into the unmanifested aspect of the Supreme Lord and enjoy some type of happiness that is free from all material suffering. Bhagavatam doesn't even come close to touching any of these four. It deals only with prema pumartha mahan, how to develop one's love for Krishna. The highest, what we say, attainment that the living entity can achieve, love of Krishna. It doesn't deal with anything. So when those who practice Krishna consciousness, who are aspiring from any of these other four things, cannot understand Bhagavatam. They cannot, because their consciousness is polluted by material desires. So this is Bhagavatam. Therefore, I mean, Devananda Pandit, he was young, he was austere, he was so austere. I mean, he wasn't just a sense gratifier. He was performing tremendous personal austerities. And he would read Bhagavatam. He had his own ashram. He wasn't a small personality. But Lord Chaitanya blasted him. He blasted him. And then there's another, maybe it's mentioned here, I don't know, but Lord Chaitanya was passing by the ashram of Devananda Pandit one day. And again, the Lord just became upset and angry, started blasting Devananda Pandit. And he said, "This rascal, I'm going to go in there and tear up his Bhagavatam." He started to run, heading for Devananda Pandit. You can understand how Lord Chaitanya didn't like any irreligious principles in the name of in religion. Somehow the devotees caught him and restrained him. Said, "No, my Lord, you shouldn't do this." And then he calmed down. The Lord is calmed by his devotees. He became somewhat pacified. Oh, here it is. Okay. After saying all these things in an angry mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to flee away from the house of Devananda Pandit, which he considered condemned. The devotees caught hold of him and begged him not to go. The Lord again said, "All the scriptures sing as Bhagavatam as being highly mysterious, inconceivable. It cannot be understood by vast learning of powerful austerities. One who attempts to know the Srimad Bhagavatam through scholarship will never understand it. One who recognizes that Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from the inconceivable Supreme Controller knows that the essence of Bhagavatam can only be known through devotion and not through scholarship." And there are so many persons today in society who study this scripture simply as an academic exercise. There are, maybe some of you are experienced such persons. They actually study Bhagavatam from an academic point, and they actually know a lot in terms of memorization and through their studies, but they have no realization. No realization. Maybe some little idea that this is something good, but that's about all. Interesting. Philosophical. But they have no realization. Realization comes through devotion. That is the only way one can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. So how are we able, here we are, come born in Western society, with no sukritis, no samskaras, how are we able to read, study, and even speak on Bhagavatam? How is it possible? Only by the mercy of the pure devotee. That is all. Srila Prabhupada's purports of Srimad Bhagavatam take one into the deep meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no other entrance. Simply to read those verses, one will never understand. Srivastava Pandit was rolling on the ground when he heard those verses. He was on the highest platform. He didn't need a purport. We need the purports, and still, we have a hard time, even after the purports. So, therefore, one can enter into the Bhagavatam by the mercy of a great soul. Srila Prabhupada's purports have simplified the very deep teachings of Bhagavatam in such a way that a common man can get some understanding. It's explained in various angles of vision. And that's our only hope, really. So we are at the mercy of the pure devotee. His mercy actually is our His mercy is our advancement. That's all. Therefore, understanding this principle, therefore one should approach the absolute principle in that way. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when we worship the deity, when we worship Tulsi, when we associate with devotees, when we hear and read Bhagavatam, we should always be in a position of seeking out the mercy. That is the qualification or the requirement for success in practicing devotional service. There's no other way. One who understands, I'll continue with the reading, that Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. One can only understand the Bhagavatam's meaning through divine love. If one wants to understand this, he must serve both the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavat devotee. In that verse, Nasta Prayeshu Abhudreshu Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that book Bhagavatam and devotee Bhagavatam are the same. And one must learn book Bhagavatam from devotee Bhagavatam. And by serving devotee Bhagavatam and hearing from him, one can understand book Bhagavatam. These two Bhagavatams are the same. There's no difference. There's no difference. Are we like the Mayavadis or the impersonalists say everything's the same? I mean, to say everything is the same, is that the same conception that the impersonalists have or the Mayavadis have? It's all one. There's no difference. In spiritual substance, no. In understanding how to relate to that spiritual substance, there is a difference. In other words, our relationship with the different objects of the non-different Supreme Absolute Truth are different. How we interact with devotees, how we serve the Bhagavatam, how we approach and interact with the spiritual master, they're different. It's not all the same. It's not like everything is one, it's all the same, there's no difference. There is difference in variety, and there is difference in reciprocation, but ultimately the absolute truth is one, in principle, in substance. Does that make sense? Clear? Achintya, beta, beta, tattva. Of course, to understand this principle is not something that one, again, can do through academia or study. Study is necessary. One should approach the absolute principle through careful study, but one has to execute these principles in one's devotional service. And then Krishna reveals himself through his service, through your service. Krishna reveals himself through the name. Krishna reveals himself through the Bhagavatam. Krishna reveals himself through our service. We get revelations, or we get understandings of the absolute principle when one carefully and submissively serves the spiritual master in devotion. Then things become understood. Continue. In this way, Mahaprabhu spoke many different truths to his followers and then returned to his home, accompanied by the devotees. From far away, Devananda Pandit could hear all these different instructions, but at the same time, he did not pay any mind to all of this. After some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. At that time, Devananda remembered the instructions the Lord had given. He began to think, such a great person as this came near my residence, and I did not get to meet him. I could not understand the glories of such a great and exalted personality as Mahaprabhu, who was filled with Krishna prema. One day in Kulia, or Koladweep as it is now known, Sri Vakeshwar Pandit went to visit the house of a devotee. That evening, Vakreshwar Pandit was absorbed in kirtan and dancing. Hearing the news of all this, people gathered from all around to take part in kirtan. As the night went on, more and more devotees began arriving there. Hearing this, Devananda Pandit could not maintain his steadiness. He also hurried to the place where the kirtan was going on. Seeing the empowered figure of Vakreshwar Pandit and hearing his sweet kirtan, Devananda Pandit was astonished. He stood transfixed for some time, which seemed like hours. As the night wore on, the crowd grew in attempts to push forward, and seeing the dancing of Vakreshwar Pandit, it became boisterous and rowdy. At that time, Devananda Pandit, with a cane in his hand, held the crowd back and quieted the mob. When Vakreshwar Pandit, after dancing and dancing, fell to the ground overwhelmed by ecstasy, Devananda Pandit carefully picked him up and held him on his lap. With his own scarf, Devananda Pandit wiped the dust from the holy body of Vakreshwar Pandit. In this way, it was on that day that Devananda Pandit began his bhakta seva, his service to the devotee. So here, interesting. He offended Srivas and invoked the anger of Mahaprabhu. But somehow or other, he did, when we say, important and glorious service to Vakreshwar Pandit. So he offended one pure devotee, and somehow or other did some great service for another pure devotee. So somehow or other, because of that, he got the mercy of the Lord. Somehow he was able to recognize Mahaprabhu as being a great personality. He didn't know he was God, but he understood that he had actually had the love of God. So seeing that, his heart somehow or other changed a little. His heart became a little bit open. And because of that, he was able to recognize that kirtan was important. So he went to the kirtan. And while in the kirtan, he did great service. He actually helped Vakreshwar Pandit. He was elderly. Devananda Pandit was an elderly man. So he had a cane. And he somehow or other held back the crowd that were trying to push. You ever see that in kirtan sometimes? We have kirtan sometimes. I know in Mayapur it's like that. You know, it just becomes a real tight circle in And there's like a circle, and it's like the chakra of all the, and everyone's in that chakra and is chanting like crazy, and others are trying to get in, you know. It's like, and sometimes you're blocked to get in. You can't even get in, you know. And just try to get in as hard as you can. And then, you know, you try not to knock anybody over, but you try to get in, and somehow or other, the only way you can get in is if you just like run and start dancing like crazy, then you can get in somehow. Push you in. I mean, it's really intense sometimes, these kirtans. And it's, because devotees, I mean, they go mad during the kirtans. One day, 5 years after he took sannyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip Dham from Jagannath Puri. Upon his return, the devotees felt that their lives had returned. Their joy knew no bounds. In order to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thousands of people gathered there. Whoever had previously committed offenses to the lotus feet of the Lord when he had manifested his lila in Navadvip was eager to be forgiven. Now they recognized Mahaprabhu was a great soul. He had taken sannyas. And therefore they realized when he was the proud, arrogant scholar, Nimai Pandit, he was being criticized in different ways. But now they realized he was such a great soul. So they came. At that time, in the place known today as Aparada Bhajanam, or the place of amnesty, Prabhupada writes, where Sridhar Swami Maharaj now has his temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted forgiveness to all those who gathered there and instructed them in the science of devotion. That place is still there. If you go to Navadvip, when you go to this place called Koladvip, and there's the ashram of Devananda Pandit. One can get all their offenses removed by going there. Simply visiting that place, whatever offenses you have committed, they're wiped away. Special place, special mercy. So devotees go. And that's important because Srila Prabhupada said that three things require are the basis of success in Krishna consciousness. Three things. One, a taste for enchanting of the holy names. Two, following the regulative principles. And he means 64, not 4, which includes the whole process of bhakti. In other words, follow the regulative principles, 64. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then Prabhupada gives the negative and avoid offenses. By avoiding offenses, spiritual life is quick. It's fast. It's blissful. But because of offenses, we can't taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a devotee very carefully and very cautiously, consciously, tries to avoid offenses. Knowing and know the offenses and try to avoid. And therefore, he's always eager to get his offenses relieved some way. And here, if one goes to Koladvip, whatever offenses you have committed, you go to this special ashram and you pray, chant there, all your offenses are wiped away. You know, sometimes, you know, I mean, there's some big offenses. There are 6 kinds of offenses to a devotee. There are many, there's so many offenses. There are offenses to the deity and deity worship. Just by going on the altar, we commit offense. We don't know that. Standing in front of that, the Lord, just being there is an offense. We're not qualified to be there, that's a fact. That's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That saying, that deity is non-different than the same Lord in the spiritual world. He's the same person. Standing in front of the deity, and then dressing the deities, handling the deities, and bathing them, feeding them, waking them up. How many offenses do we commit? The Lord's very kind. Different. Deity worship is very, very, all but said, you know. There's two dangerous services. two very dangerous servants. Personal servant of the spiritual master and servant of the deity, Pujari. Very dangerous service. I mean, you're doing great service, but at the same time, you have to understand who you're dealing with. The Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is very kind. Therefore, how do we prevent from falling down because of the... You see how many times... there's always a revolving door with Pujaris, right? Pujaris don't last long. It's difficult to be a Pujari. Very difficult to be. I'm not saying you should give up your service. Don't get me wrong. But it's difficult to be a Pujari. Very difficult. I mean, there's some Pujaris that I know have been there for years. But it's one has to be very, very different. One has to keep good sadhana. If you keep good sadhana, you can maintain your Pujari. If your sadhana gets weak, it's very hard to continue in that service. That's your strength. Good chanting, good hearing, reading Bhagavatam, like that. If you have good japa, regular japa, your deity worship will continue. And whatever little offenses you may commit will be overlooked by the mercy of the Lord. So there's offenses in the deities, there's the 10 offenses to the holy name with the 11th in attention, there's offenses to the Vaishnavas, there's offenses to in bhakti, just in bhakti alone, you re nectar devotion. So many offenses. God, what did we get ourselves into? This is a process where, you know, we're coming in to elevate our consciousness into the spiritual world, and there's, God, it's just like so dangerous. Isn't it amazing? It's because it's not really easy to get into the spiritual world. One has to purify their consciousness. One has to be very careful and cautious. Therefore, Prabhupada said, Lord Krishna gave the formula. He's speaking to Brahma at the end of the Brahma Samhita. Three things are necessary. Theistic conduct, perseverance and practice, and what's the other one? Scriptural, following scripture. To have the proper conduct, follow scripture and guru, of course, and to persevere in your practice. In other words, one has to have great determination in this process. Krishna told these three things to Brahma at the end of the Brahma Samhita. You'll read that in the fifth chapter. So, therefore, theistic conduct means one has to be very, very careful to act on the basis of religious principles. And what is the formula? Humility. Really, that is the formula. If one is humble, then one will be able to execute devotional service easily. Proud, puffed up, self-assured, thinking that I got it, I'm in control. These are disqualifications and makes the process somewhat difficult. So one has to be very conscious like that. And, of course, there's offenses to the Dham too. Offenses to the holy name, offenses to the deity, offenses in bhakti, offenses to the Dham, offenses to the Vaishnavas. So many offenses. Go to Koladweep, this place, and take shelter at Devananda Pandit's ashram, and get relieved of all offenses. Mercy. That's called special mercy. That is special, special mercy. There is actually a place on this planet where one can get free from all offenses. And offenses in bhakti, or in any of the aspects of bhakti, except Vaishnava Aparad, can be overcome by chanting the holy name. One can relieve their offenses to the deities, to the Dham, to bhakti, to the holy name, by seriously and very enthusiastically, with great devotion, chant the holy names. Except for Vaishnava Parad. Those offenses cannot be overcome by anything but by begging for the mercy from the offended Vaishnava. It's the only way. But even going to this place, one can be free from the offenses of Vaishnavas. Because we don't even know. Every day we commit offenses to Vaishnavas. Just when we see Vaishnavas as ordinary, as being somebody who's just, you know, we know them. But actually a Vaishnava, or one who's practicing devotional service, is rare, is special. They've come to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they've taken shelter of the spiritual energy. They're under the mercy of the Lord. They're worshipful. All Vaishnavas are worshipful. So, one should be very cautious and careful to not to commit offenses. Okay, Devananda Pandit. There's only one more page left, and then we'll finish the life of Devananda Pandit. At that time, Devananda Pandit took darshan at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering his obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya at a distance. Devananda cowered and shrank away from the Lord, standing off to one side. At that time, the Lord saw him and said, "You are the servant of my dear devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit. By your service to him, you have greatly pleased me. As a result of your service to him, you have come close to me. Vakreshwar Pandit is empowered by Krishna Shakti. By serving my dear devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit, you have attained the mercy of Krishna." Here's the formula. Hearing these words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Devananda was overwhelmed with the sentiments of bhakti. His voice was choked with divine emotion, and he said, "O my Lord, O Supreme Master, you have appeared in Navadvipa just to deliver all fallen souls. I am a sinner. I have committed great sins against divinity. I have failed to worship your lotus feet. As a result of this, I have cheated myself out of your causeless mercy. O Lord of all creation, super soul of all that lives, you are supremely merciful. By your causeless mercy, I have been able to take darshan of your holy feet on this day. O supremely merciful one, please be kind upon me and instruct me in the goal of life. Please explain the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam to me as well." Hearing this humble request of Devananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke as follows. Somehow, when he got the mercy of the Lord, what happened? He realized that this was the Lord. Somehow, he understood that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How was he able to understand? Only by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord revealed it through his mercy. "Listen carefully, O Brahmana. Always praise Srimad Bhagavatam. Never let any explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam other than bhakti issue forth from your lips. From beginning, middle, to end, this is the meaning. Constant devotion to Krishna is eternally perfect, flawless, and infallible. It is the highest goal of life. The Supreme Lord appears in his innumerable avatars, beginning with Korma. His appearance and disappearance is transcendental. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam is not a material creation. Its appearance and disappearance is completely divine. In the trance of Bhakti Yoga, Vyas compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. It passed through him and appeared on his tongue as the result of the mercy of Krishna. If one does not understand that the Bhagavatam is a divine truth on the level of God himself, he will never realize its meaning. This is the verdict of all authorized scriptures. One who understands the Srimad Bhagavatam in that way has real knowledge. If one approaches the Bhagavatam with material knowledge, he will never understand it. If, however, one is unlearned but takes shelter of the Bhagavatam, he will be enlightened with this meaning. The Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with divine love, prema. It is an extension of Krishna himself, and it reveals his confidential pastimes of divine love. O Brahmana, previously you committed an offense to the lotus feet of Srivas Pandit. You must go to him and beg forgiveness at his lotus feet. There is no difference between the book Bhagavatam and the Bhakta Bhagavatam. If you get the mercy of Bhakta Bhagavatam, then you easily attain the mercy of the book Bhagavatam. Having thus heard the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Devananda Pandit immediately went to Srivast Thakur and begged forgiveness for his offenses. At that time, Srivast Thakur embraced Devananda and forgave his offenses. The four directions were filled with the sound of the holy name of Hari, as the devotees were all jubilant upon Mahaprabhu's return to Navadvipdan. From that day on, Devananda Pandit accepted, in the midst of the followers of Mahaprabhu, he was accepted as a great devotee. Devananda Pandit's disappearance day falls on the dark moon Ekadasi on the month of Paus, which corresponds to the month of December, which is today. So that ends the narration on some of the pastimes and life of Devananda Pandit. Any questions? Comments? You see in this section how much Bhagavatam is glorified. It is one of the five potent forms of devotional service. Chanting the holy names, worshipping the deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and living in the holy place are considered the five most powerful forms of devotional service. So much so that Rupa Goswami writes that even a gross neophyte can experience ecstatic symptoms simply by coming in contact with one or more of these. So how is it possible that a neophyte can experience ecstasy? It's not possible, but just like the sun is so powerful that immediately its rays will purify any place. So similarly, Bhagavatam is so powerful that one immediately feels joyful upon coming in contact. Okay? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Devananda Pandit ki, Hare Krishna.